November 3rd, 2012. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Can you believe it's December already? Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup for this program along with relevant links, visit spingola.com. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. My regular email is deanna@spingola.com, which I do not access during the program. You may join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of numerous books, including Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 through 1947. His website is wildwestblogcom.blogspot.com. Thomas, welcome to the program.
Deanna, how are you?
I'm very well, and you?
Very good. Let me just go back a little bit. You said, can we believe it's December already, nearing Christmas? Yes, I can, because I played Santa Claus Saturday in some sort of silly thing, a blessing of the dogs, I guess that's what it was. But it was a photo op with me in a Santa suit taking photographs of everything from Pomeranians and peaks to pit bulls. So, yeah, I can believe it's Christmas. And something else, Deanna, let me say, I tried reaching you three different times on this 800 number, and it was only by luck, the last one, I guess, that I actually got through. That's the 9443 number, so I hope none of your listeners and callers are having the same problem as I am.
Well, that's interesting. Maybe they were on other calls or something. I'm not sure, what to say about that. But
I got a recording several times saying, hey, sorry, Charlie, you're on the wrong phone. But anyway, I hope they're not having that same problem. But yes, it's great being with you again, Deanna.
Well, thank you so much. Now, tell me how people may order Hellstorm, because you do have a few copies left at $20, and it's a book that people absolutely must read if they're the least bit interested in history, particularly of World War or post-World War II history in Germany. So how do people get that book?
I do have about 10 paperback copies left, and that may be it as far as the paperback, because I'm not sure I'm going to be getting any more from the publisher. There just weren't too many to begin with. But they can get a cheap copy of that from me for $20, that's including postage, simply by, you've got the good stuff, but they can email me at M, as in Michael, T as in Thomas, Goodrich, @AOL.com, and I can fill them in on the rest. Or they can order through the publisher, hardback, which are really nice books, of course, and that's from Aberdeen Press, at 303-795-1890. Or they can go to Amazon or any other sources like that. The book will be a little more expensive, but my paperback is only 20, and I'll sell those as long as I have any left. You've got the rest of the information if anybody doesn't get what I just ran through real quickly, and so maybe they can follow up with you and find the source.
Sure. Yeah, just email me, and I will direct you to the right email and or the right address or whatever you need. So just it's a fabulous book.
Yeah, let me add this also. You are a real surprise to me.
All righty, we'll save that surprise until the other side of the break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free, 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now, 800-537-1339.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Thomas Goodrich. One of the fellows in the chat room, Uncle Rick, said maybe we should start calling him Santa Goodrich.
Yeah, that's real good. I'll tell you what, that's the last time I played Santa anywhere. This was a nightmare as far as I was concerned. It was, if you could imagine dogs peeing on the floor, pit bulls growling at you. You've got people that think their dog is, a child, only lacking the clothing. And it was just a bizarre thing I somehow got myself into, but I doubt if I do that again next year. But Deanna, I just wanted to add that from your other show that I did, you have a tremendous following. I was immediately bombarded by hundreds of people who listen to your program, who are avid followers of your program. I mean, it's just I've done a lot of radio TV stuff over the last 20 years, done some major market stuff with WBAL in Washington and Baltimore and KSFO in San Francisco, stations like that. But I think the response from your program was as large as any I've ever experienced.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
You have really got a following.
Well, thank you. People like the truth, and that's what we try to present here on this program with guests such as yourself. And that just goes to show that people are really looking for the truth, and they want it, they're going to search for it, and they know it when they hear it.
And I think some of it has to do also, Deanna, with your personality. You've got a very wonderful, caring, giving, generous personality, and it comes across on the radio. And so I think some of that, dear lady, also has to do with you. So
now I'm blushing, so we probably ought to move on.
Okay.
Well, you have written several books, and books that I really, I love history. I love the history of the so-called Civil War. And, you know, I have addressed some of the issues in one of my books about the War of Northern Aggression, because I hate to even call it the Civil War. In fact, mm-hmm. I always preface it with so-called. And you have also written a lot about this. And one of the books that you wrote, The Day Dixie Died, Southern Occupation, 1865 to 1866. Now, that's a relatively short period of time. And you wrote that book in 2001. And some of the dreadful things that happened during, and you nailed it. It was an occupation. And it was certainly the North that invaded the South. It was not something that was civil at all. The North invaded the South, slaughtered people, slaughtered animals, burned down buildings, all the buildings that they could, destroyed towns. It was a scorched earth policy that they employed. And they disrupted food production. They wanted to starve the people in the South.
I can't argue with anything you've said. In fact, let me also preface with what I'm going to say with this right now. I don't claim to be an expert on the so-called Reconstruction period of the South, 1865 to roughly 1875. I am, however, an expert on this book, The Day Dixie Died, The Occupied South from 1865 to 1866. And what you've said so far, yes, it was quite a revelation, I've got to say, Deanna, when I wrote this book. The parallels to Hellstorm are just incredible. Anyone who heard the program we did a week or so ago on World War II, the final months and years of the war, and the post-war years, would find an immediate parallel to the so-called American Civil War. Yes, a war of Yankee aggression, Northern aggression, whatever. It's just incredible. Here we have a small group of people who go to war for their freedom, for their independence. That is the Southerners. Basically, they got tired of this this union, this confederation with the Yankees in the North. Let's not forget, I am a Yankee. I was born and raised a Yankee. When I dreamed childhood thoughts, I was always wearing blue as a child, a soldier. I was always a Yankee. And so some of this stuff came kind of hard for me to basically turn 180 degrees around. But anyway, a small group of people, the Southerners, fighting for the freedom against this enormous machine, which was the North at that time, an industrial giant with manpower, 10 times the number of the South. And after, again, in keeping that parallel with World War II, Germany against the world, basically, we have this ruthless, pitiless war lasting 4 years. And finally, the small number of independent-minded patriots are overwhelmed by numbers, force of numbers, by industrial might. And then, of course, came the peace, which is mostly the subject of The Day Dixie Died, the so-called peace. Actually, it's just war by other means, just like World War II. The victors might call it peace, but let me assure you, the vanquished, they had another word for it, and it was war, war by other means. And yes, the starvation, the murder, the torture, the rape. A lot of folks think torture began with Abu Ghraib in Iraq, or maybe perhaps World War II, if they listened to our program the other day about World War II. Well, let me assure you, the Northern forces, the United States of America at that time fighting against the Confederacy, they also used torture as a means of prying loose information from people. In fact, the groans in the State House and the War Department at night down in the basement could be heard outside on the streets. And then, of course, with the so-called peace came the vilification of the Southern leaders, just like the Nazi leaders, and the demonization of the cause, the Nazi cause or the Southern cause. This total demonization until today, you see what we've got. When we talk about Jefferson Davis in the South, it's almost as if Southerners are ashamed to talk about it. That's your average Southerner. You take your sons of Confederate veterans and the daughters of the Confederacy, they're not ashamed at all. In fact, they're proud to wave the flag, the battle flag of the South. But generally, it's become verboten to talk about, much less extol, the virtues of the Southern Confederacy. When fair-minded people try to stand up for the truth, of course, they're shouted down, just like with the Nazis and Germany. My premise, in The Day Dixie Died is that had Lincoln survived to live out his second term, he was elected, let's not forget, had he lived, that the post-war years would have been less vicious, less violent. Because let's face it, Lincoln, in his one of his last speeches, in his second inaugural speech, he said with it was a very compromising speech, basically with charity for all, with you know the speech, and I'm not going to go through it all.
Sure.
But had he lived, I think he was beholden to live by those words, not suddenly turn some legal trickery here and then put the screws down in the South. So I actually believe his words. Maybe I'm gullible. But, of course, Lincoln did not survive to live out a second term, and we got the renegade Southerner Andrew Johnson, who became president. And where do you want me to go from here? I could go a blow-by-blow of the story. Let's put it this way. It's one of the few books that deal honestly with what really happened in the South following the war. And it was not the Moonlight and Magnolias approach that we've been fed over the years, this rather benign Appomattox greeting between Robert E. Lee and Ulysses S. Grant, where they talk like old friends, but they really were very respected, either both of them, to each other. It was, and Lee hands over his sword, and they all go home and become farmers again, and we're back to being one nation. It wasn't that at all. It was much like, again, the what happened to Germany after the war. It was this, deliberate humiliation, starvation, rape, turning the blacks loose, the freed slaves on the South, and basically saying, go at them. It's all yours now. Go for it. A lot of folks have well, anyway, let me ask you. Let me go with this approach. You asked me the question. Since you seem to know a lot about it and probably a heck of a lot more than me, I'll try answering your questions. Deanna, first of all, did you read the book?
I have not read the book yet.
Okay, well. You know enough that you can still ask me some questions if you would, and I'll try to amplify on them because it's a large topic, obviously. And we still live to this very day the repercussions from that war. To this very day, yes.
Exactly. It was a war to alter the structure of the government of this country. Would you agree with that?
I would agree totally with that, yes.
And I have, in my book, my first book, I referred to the South as a colony of the North because they had to, the people in the South, whether they were plantation owners, and many of the plantation owners arrived in the South as a result of land being seized from the Indians, and when they shoved those people westward, and some of the plantation owners came down from the North and started growing cash crops, not crops to feed the people, but cash crops to make money for the people up north. And it was the people up north that did all of the shipping to Britain. And as I say, they viewed the South as a colony. And I think the average Southerner did not own slaves. They eked out a living on the soil. We do have to take a real quick break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough Shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Today is Thomas Goodrich, the author of The Day Dixie Died, Southern Occupation, 1865 to 1866. It is available at Amazon either as a Kindle format, Kindle edition, or as a hardcover book, and I would recommend that you get it. While I have not completed reading it, I can say with a surety that it is a good book. So I made some statements about the South, and they had some cultural differences that were quite apparent. The North was secularized, while the South was more laid back, considered more Bible-based, and Christian. It was just a totally different way of life.
Yeah, I think that's safe. You know, anybody who really wants a quick trip through the South can do no worse than going to Gone with the Wind by Margaret Mitchell. It's yes, they take some license in there, of course, but I think the tone, the general tenor of the movie is right on. I know its imperfections and some of the failings, and yet I cannot think of anything better at this moment right now. And of course, the book itself is a very good book. I've read it a couple of times. Deanna, the book, as far as I know, Day Dixie Died, is no longer in print. It's either in the Kindle edition for about $15, or I've got 5 hardbacks that I'm willing to sell for $30. But I think after that, that's it. So we're talking about a book that's you might say gone with the wind right now, unless you've got the e-reader for Kindle.
Right. And you actually don't have to have the e-reader. You can download a program and use it on your computer to read the book. And the Kindle for PC is free.
Wow, that's neat. Yeah, I'm very proud of the book, too, because, like I said, I think it's the only book that addresses what was history's first modern war and history's first modern defeat, and all the ramifications, all that suggests. History's first modern war with, fancy artillery, armored ships, actually had aerial observation with the balloons. That's what I mean by modern war, with machine guns, actually, with some of the earliest machine guns. But also, when I talk about history's first modern defeat, I mean that also. I mean an encompassing defeat, a total defeat, a subjugation of a people, entire people, cities laid waste. That's what I mean by modern defeat, an ugly, ugly picture.
And wasn't it the first war that they used total war? In other words, they went after the civilian population?
I think that's safe to say, yeah. The cavalry raids, they were designed to harm the Southerners. Look at Sherman's march through the Carolinas and Georgia. That was nothing but an attempt to dehouse the civil population and make them tired of war. Of course, out in Missouri and Kansas, they had the same thing going on out there. General Orders Number 11, very few people even know what that is all about, and yet it's more draconian than even Sherman's march through to the sea. It was basically the depopulation, wholesale murder of people just trying to get rid of them to stop the guerrilla warfare that was occurring in that area of Missouri. So the South, or the so-called Civil War, yeah, it's been passed down to us. We've got hundreds of thousands of reenactors every year getting out in their either the Southern or Northern uniforms and playing like they're at war. But this was not a fun thing that our people passed through. Trust me, it was something, it was, again, it's very similar to World War II. The South never did rise again. They were put down so hard that there just wasn't any rise. There's never been any really significant attempt to repeat the example.
Well, it certainly centralized all power in Washington.
Yeah, for the worst, wouldn't you agree? That
absolutely, it centralized
power. We
could
be no worse off today had the South seceded. I wish the South had seceded. We could be no worse off than we are today in this muddle that we find ourselves in, this wretched downward spiral of the United States. In fact, I can say this. I can be a very radical person today. I don't know why. Maybe that Santa Claus thing this weekend has got me fired up. But I don't see any problem with the United States busting down into its components. We're too big right now. It's obvious that this is not working. This entire experiment, this attempt to hold us together with the Civil War that held us, that kept the South with us in spite of their wishes, it just hasn't worked. We need freedom in this country, and we're not getting it right now. I know I'm going off on another rabbit trail here, but, whatever. Maybe
it's relevant. It's relevant. And and what it did, it made all of us debt slaves, and it introduced corporatocracy, which we are still suffering under, and it did get rid of slavery. But when you look at the exchange, what people... we all became debt slaves. Slavery, I don't believe in slavery, of course, but at least the people were taken care of for their entire life. They didn't have to worry about getting kicked out on the street, homeless. Alrighty, we do have a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com. Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Thomas Goodrich, the author of numerous books, and the one that we're discussing today is The Day Dixie Died, Southern Occupation, 1865 to 1866. You can get that book as a Kindle edition at Amazon, and I believe there are also some used books, and I would highly recommend that you purchase it. I like the Kindle edition. I can put it on my iPad, and I can just, you know, it works really well for me. You were talking about Reconstruction, and you were comparing the situation in the South with the situation post-war Germany. Was there during Reconstruction an educational program that is comparable to the denazification program that they imposed in Germany after the war?
Oh yeah, yes. Yes, there certainly was. I don't know if there was an official title to all this. It could have been just a bunch of northern do-gooders. And these are people really that are ideologues who totally believe, I'm convinced, in what they were doing. They rushed south on the heels of the carpetbaggers, of course, who swarmed over the prostate south for economical reasons. But behind them were these well-intentioned do-gooders who did want to elevate the slave. They, Harriet Beecher Stowe and Uncle Tom's Cabin, this thing had a real strong impact, especially in New England. And so a lot of folks with time on their hands decided to come south and do what they could. And some were just way off the wall nuts, let's put it this way. They had this crazy notions of well, they saw the world through their own eyes, and they didn't have enough sense or experience to feel around before they jumped and leapt into it. Listen to this. This is what some of the Southerners had to put up with, though. This was some of these nut jobs who did come south. I'm going to read this to you guys right now. These are Northern missionaries who come down and start schools, and this is what one person overheard in a classroom. Now, children, began the daily chant of a Yankee teacher in Louisville to a class of black students. You don't think white people are any better than you because they have straight hair and white faces. No, sir. No, they are no better, but they are different, the instructor continued. They possess great power. They control this vast country. Now, what makes them different from you? And the reply, of course, is money. Yes, but how do they get the money? Got it off us. Stole it off we all. Now, this kind of indoctrination is very similar to the denazification in Germany. Very similar. And this is going on all across the South. This re-education, this deliberate attempt, in my opinion, to sow the seeds of discord and hatred among two races that had lived, yes, in a master-slave relationship, but still had lived in a relative peace. Now this, rather than trying to encourage more of that same peace in a different political format, of course, the master-slave has ended, instead chooses to create the animosity, as that little passage I read to you would indicate. I've got to read to you something else, Diana. It's along in a similar vein, but it shows why a lot of blacks in the South chose to remain friends with their former masters and the families they had lived with, because after all, these blacks were Southerners just like the whites were Southerners. They had a hell of a lot more in common with their Southerners, fellow Southerners, than they did with these peculiar Yankees who came south with these crazed notions in their head. Listen to this. Now, white folks announced the Louisiana black. I was going to tell you the difference between a Southern man and a Yankee. Well, the Southern man, he stop at the hotel, he asks for a room, he get the key, he say, here, Jim, take my valise. When he get the room, he said, Jim, you black rascal, brush my coat and boots and be in a hurry. While I was doing that, he wash himself, comb his hair, and take a drink, and when I gives him the boots, he hands me a dollar. When the Yankee stops at the hotel, he say, Mr. Johnson, please brush my boots. Mr. Johnson, please carry this note to Mr. Smith at the railroad depot. Mr. Johnson, please carry this message to the telegraph office. Mr. Johnson, guess I'll have to trouble you to bring me a pitcher of water. Mr. Johnson, I guess I ought to have a cigar. Run down and get me a 5-cent one. I come back and expect he's going to give me about $2, but instead of giving me the money, he asked me to take a seat and tell me about my grandfather, my grandmother, my brother, my sister, my cousin, my old massa, and how much I was making and how I is and all such nonsense. And after a while, he says, well, Mr. Johnson, I guess I just have to give you a dime before I leave. Now, white folks, that's the difference between the Southern man and the Yankee, and it's every word the truth, too.
Wow, that is very interesting.
Yeah, these stingy characters come south with their heads filled with notions, and they neglect the little things, like the tip there, the stinginess of it all. But
right.
Anyway, the book, as obviously... That was a direct quote from the book I was reading. The book is not all horrors and terrible stories. There's lots of interesting stuff like that throughout. I do have 5 of those hardback copies left, and like I said earlier, that's it. Once these are gone, there are no more hardback. It's all Kindle from then on.
Right.
Or, like you say, used books.
Now, did Rockefeller fund this educational process in the South?
Rockefeller? I don't know. Now, that's where you probably could instruct me on a few things. I don't know, Deanna. Certainly, funding came from somewhere.
Right. I believe they did. And Harriet Beecher Stowe, who you also mentioned, was simply a rabble-rousing propagandist. She'd never been to the South before she wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin and wrote all of this just to create chaos
mm-hmm.
and to create anger among the Northerners who would not have fought to free the slaves, because, well, for one, they also owned slaves up north. The rich people owned slaves. And it actually started up north. And most of the people who traded slaves lived in the north.
Yeah, there's the hypocrisy of the north. It was incredible during this period. While some northerners, once they ran into blacks, despised them, loathed them, treated them worse than dogs, animals, they still persecuted the southerners for having them as slaves, in which the southerners, in spite of all the crazy stuff that's been going around recently from the 1960s to now about how terrible life was on the plantation, most of that is a bunch of hogwash. I have done a lot of studies myself on a typical plantation. Now, true, the further south you went, the larger the plantation, the harsher, I think, were the conditions. It doesn't make sense, however, that a master, a slave master, would abuse, mistreat, and certainly not kill something that he has paid $2,000 for. That is not the way it operates. I'm sorry. Up in the border states, Missouri, Kentucky, places like that, some of the blacks lived with some of the white families right in their cabins. I mean, we were talking really small operations here, but they were, in essence, part of the family. Yes, they were a slave, but as far as treatment, it wasn't appreciably different from the white folks themselves. Now, would I have liked to have been a slave at the time? I don't know. I would prefer to be a slave than off on my own living under a bridge somewhere, starving. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I wasn't alive then. I'm a slave to my sources, and yet my sources tell me that the picture I'm getting is a lot different from the picture portrayed in movies and a lot of the books, a lot of the history books out there now.
Right. Such as the one, Roots, by Alex, who was that?
Haley. Yes. Haley. I didn't read that book. I didn't even see the movie, so I can't comment on it. I know it was a very popular movie, and I'm assuming since it got rave reviews, it was very inaccurate.
You're correct, right.
That's generally the way it goes. And speaking of new movies, of course, there was the Lincoln movie. I went with my wife Friday night to see the latest vampire movie. She's a nut for that, for Twilight, the Twilight thing, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with that? It's about vampires.
No, I'm not into the vampire thing.
Neither am I, but I had to go. But the Lincoln movie, they asked us if it was for the Lincoln movie we were there for, and said nope. And it was good because it was sold out. Apparently the movie is just going gangbusters right now. But
it's a propaganda by Spielberg.
Probably, yes. Since it's from Steven Spielberg, it's probably nothing but a lot of feel-good nonsense. And by the way, I've never been a Spielberg fan. It's just too shallow and superficial for my movies. I like them with more depth. And so I probably will never see this movie simply for that reason. And also for the propaganda value. No, I'm not into that either. I do know something about Lincoln, and whenever you feel like hearing about it, we can talk about Lincoln a little bit. What I know, in fact, you probably, again, know more about Lincoln than I do, Deanna.
He's certainly been glorified. He's been glorified. He's got the Lincoln Memorial. I think had he lived, he would have had to answer an awful lot of questions.
Yeah, that's safe to say. And had the fortunes of the South been different, he might have well spent time in prison, just like Jefferson Davis did, in a ball and chain. For some of the things that happened while he was president, the suspension of the writ of habeas corpus, arbitrary arrests right and left, prisons groaning with political prisoners that are in there without trial, without being accused and without trial, torture, as I mentioned. We never really recovered from the so-called Civil War. That's where the old America ended and the new began for better or worse. And, of course, we both believe it was for the worse.
Would you say that his assassination made him a martyr and a hero?
Absolutely, yes. I don't, like yourself, I think had he been allowed to live out his second term, I think the warts would have started coming through, because we'd have been going through that period where I do believe he did want to let the South down easily. That's his terms. And I do believe he wanted a more amicable peace, but he did not. And, of course, the radicals in the North seized upon his assassination as a pretext to foist upon the South their draconian version of peace, war by other means. And so, yes, it was terrible. Lincoln, prior to the moment that bullet entered his head, he had been the most loathed and unliked American president in history. Now, he had just won the war, it's true. Lee had surrendered. The South was surrendering everywhere, the armies. And so he was a victorious president when he entered Ford's Theater that night, his last night on Earth. He would have been the toast of the free world at the time. He would have been the toast of the Western world. But that bullet, of course, immediately raised him to sainthood status. He became a martyr. He became almost godlike. I talk about that not just in The Day Dixie Died. I did another book on Lincoln's assassination and its impact on the North. And immediately right after Lincoln's death, no longer could you criticize Lincoln. You could, and you might end up dead if you did. I'm very serious about that. That's what the other book called The Darkest Dawn deals with. This race to make a very common man, to turn a very common man into a saint, this godlike figure. And it was because, yes, Lincoln had been criticized harshly in the first 4 years of war. And suddenly he had turned this thing around. In other words, people who thought that Lincoln couldn't do it, that they could never force the South to surrender, could never subjugate the Confederacy, well, they were wrong. Lincoln did it. And suddenly Lincoln is killed, and they have no chance to thank him. They have criticized him for 4 years, called him a hairy ape, a goon, a monster, a tyrant. And so many people in America suddenly felt shame that they had been that critical. The man had succeeded. He was right. But now they could not thank him. And so their approach was, like any other humans, we'd do the same thing today, is to raise him to this godlike stature and forget his failings. Forget the bad things about Lincoln. And believe me, there were a ton of them. Forget all that. And don't you dare bring it up, because if you do, that proves you're against Lincoln, anti-Lincoln, pro-South, and we'll throw you in jail or kill you, perhaps. A lot of folks don't know that right after Lincoln was killed, a tremendous purge swept America for the next 2 weeks, mostly within the next 48 hours after Lincoln was killed, but it did continue for weeks afterwards, a purge. In the North, let's remember, a significant percentage was anti-Republican, anti-Lincoln, and they called them copperheads. That doesn't necessarily mean they were pro-South. It means they were pro-Constitution, anti-tyranny, and they never missed a beat when it came to criticizing Lincoln and Republicanism, in spite of the fear of being thrown into prison, or worse, having your business closed down, having your newspaper wrecked. But still, a lot of these folks did make those comments. And so now Lincoln's dead, and their neighbors turn against them. They remember those comments that they made, those anti-Lincoln comments. They remembered that they were Democrats. They voted Democrat. And they turned against them, and there wasn't anybody to stop them. America was just turned loose to the mobs in the first 48 hours and all the way up for about 2 weeks. The people, the Republicans, basically, it was something very similar to the French Revolution, the terror of the Jacobins. And my estimate is that hundreds died. Millions of dollars in property, of course, were destroyed in fires and the riots that occurred afterwards. And it's one of the best-kept secrets in American history. Unlike Hellstorm, which is the best-kept, bloodiest secret in world history, that's World War II, what happened to the Germans, this is the best-kept secret in American history. And it still has very little, except people who have read my books, especially The Darkest Dawn, very few people know of this.
Amazing.
Yes.
And so
I could
go
on and on.
Well, please do. I mean, you could...
When I say they turned upon their neighbors, I mean literally turned upon their neighbors, murdered them, burned their homes down. There's a lady in Des Moines, Iowa, of all places, who had been a critic of Lincoln. She was in her home when Lincoln was assassinated and the news reached Iowa. She was on her sickbed. Well, she was dragged out by the ladies of the community, the church ladies, and forced to walk around town waving a U.S. flag. And when her 13-year-old daughter tried to protect her mother, who was sick, don't forget, she was beaten up by the mob.
Oh, my goodness. All righty, we do have to go to a break. You can get The Darkest Dawn, Lincoln Booth, and the Great American Tragedy at Amazon. We'll be right back.
Are you tormented with anxiety, depression, or other chronic symptoms of less than perfect health? In 2010, a few people got to participate in a groundbreaking discovery. Dr. Carolyn Dean, world-renowned authority on natural health, has recently patented a technology that is straight out of science fiction. And she invited me to try this product called RNA Drops. And within 12 hours of taking RNA Drops, I could feel an amazing sense of bliss. And since then, I've watched my troubles with depression and other health issues vanish into freedom and happiness again. Listen to hours of testimonials and get your trial bottle of RNA Drops at www.rnafreebottle.com. That's www.rnafreebottle.com. Pay only shipping and handling and get your free trial bottle today at rnafreebottle.com.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Deanna, and our guest today is Thomas Goodrich, the author of numerous books, including the two of them that Thomas is talking about today, The Day That The Day Dixie Died, Southern Occupation, 1865 to 1866, and The Darkest Dawn, Lincoln Booth and the Great American Tragedy, which is not available as a Kindle, but it is available as a hardcover and as a paperback at Amazon. One of the beauties of your books, because of the sources that you use, makes the reader feel that he or she is immediately transported to the relevant time and place. And this is such a wonderful characteristic, and it really ties people to the feelings that you are, I anticipate that the feelings that you are feeling when you wrote these things, when you opened those diaries, I think that you felt the pain and the poignancy of the things that you were reading, and you have this great ability of putting it into your writing so that people can feel what you felt.
You know, Deanna, as many books as I've written, as often as I've been on radio, and as many reviews as my books have received, I've never heard it said that way. Thank you very much. That is really beautiful. I hope to listen to this recording and maybe paraphrase exactly what you said. I try to do that, Deanna. I honestly do. I try to be as neutral, unbiased, and fair as I possibly can to both sides. Of course, I've got my opinions. I've got my bias. But in my opinion, there's no place, the history book is no place to parade my agenda. And so I try to be as fair as I possibly can. But I also try to understand who I'm writing about as to the best of my ability. Even if it's someone I dislike, I try to understand what they're thinking. And when I come to their journals, their diaries, newspaper accounts, I do very much try to get as much of their thoughts and words into the story as possible. Some people, unfortunately, cannot express themselves very well, so that's where I come in, and I have to write these in my own words. But yes, I think there is a sense of immediacy in virtually all the books I have written. A sense of being there, a you are there approach, because I do let the people talk as much as I can. I let the reader know what's going on in their mind, whether it's a woman going through her 15th rape that night in Germany as the Russians roll through, or whether it's a white Southerner in Tennessee who's forced up on a cupola in the county courthouse, atop the county courthouse by Yankees who have forced him up there just for entertainment, so he can provide entertainment to the entire town. This is after the war, of course. The humiliation involved in that, of cutting off the buttons of Southerners, and what that felt like to a Southern man who had fought for 4 years to the best of his ability, how that felt to him to have his buttons cut off by Yankees. Again, what it was like in the Indian Wars, Scalp Dance. People have called that one of the best books on the Indian Wars because I let the folks do the talking themselves.
Which allows the reader to make their own conclusions,
right.
Unbiased. It's wonderful. All right, we do have our 60-second top-of-the-hour break. We will be right back.